Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. He's Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be.
And that is exactly why we are here today, to listen to the stories that take us where we want to be. And now even taking it further, because we are on the brink of starting something completely new, which we're going to start after January 1st, which is the stories of our future. So we're not only going to write stories of things that happen, we're going to write the stories of things that are going to happen. So stay tuned, and I will tell you the details about that before the new year. And if you want to join us, email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com, and I will give you all the details. Very, very exciting. But we do have a story today of something that did happen yesterday, happened to me. And it's a story about flying. And lots of people have great stories about flights they took. And I want to hear it. I want to hear your flight story. But today I'm going to give you my flight story of what happened, because I am traveling right now. I'm actually in a little hotel in a place called Klamath Falls, which you may never have heard of. And I'm broadcasting at early in the morning so that I can make sure that you get this today, because I don't know what's going to happen today. Then we're going to talk about being alone and what does that mean. Because Madison Taylor says that being alone is the most important relationship we will ever have in our life, is with ourselves. And that relationship determines the kind of relationship we're going to have with anyone else. And so we're going to talk about being alone, because I traveled alone, but I want to hear your story, whether you traveled alone or not. I hope you're all getting ready for some kind of holiday. I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I'm going to say Happy New Year and Happy Hanukkah and happy any other holiday you celebrate, which I'm not aware of. And then we are going to wrap it up for today, unless we have some time left over, or if anybody has a story to call in. If you do want to call in, the phone number to call is 914-338-0686.
If you want to email your story and let me read it, or just email me and let me know that you want to tell your story in the future, you can email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. And now I'm going to tell you my story. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and I have a story called Recalculating, because there was nothing about this flight that did not get recalculated. And this is about my flight from New York City to Klamath Falls, Oregon. And if you've never heard of Klamath Falls, Oregon, I didn't either. But now I did, because it's the closest airport to where my daughter's new home is. And I'll tell you about Klamath Falls later, but for now, let me focus on my flight that began on Thursday. Today is Monday. Okay, it began last Thursday. And it was stretched out until Friday. I started Thursday, and it was stretched out until Friday, 11 a.m., when I began writing about the story and decided that I was going to tell you. And I actually wrote it out on a tiny little airplane as I was flying from Portland, Oregon to Klamath Falls. And a little tiny airplane that fits only 20 people. Not three people, only 20 or 30 people. Teeny weeny plane. I've never ridden a small commercial plane like that. And so let me tell you my story. I began the flight out of JFK Airport in New York with a JetBlue flight directly to Portland, Oregon. I have been flying JetBlue exclusively for the past 7 years, and not once ever was a flight delayed or canceled, or even a tiny bit late. And that's pretty unusual, and that's really the reason why I fly JetBlue, because most of the time they are on schedule. However, there is a first time for everything, and today was that first time. I got to the airport unusually early, and that doesn't happen either. That's a first timer, because I didn't want to get stuck in traffic, and the flight was around traffic time, right after traffic time. But I took a late flight because it was the only option I had, and it meant that I was going to arrive at midnight, the local time, which would be 3 a.m. for me. Ouch. That was a painful consideration, because I woke up at 6 o'clock that morning, and I would be dragging my feet by nighttime when the flight was scheduled to leave. But I was willing to brave it because it was my only choice, and I wanted to fly JetBlue to Portland, and that was the only flight they offered. I think they still offered that as the only flight that they have from New York to Portland. And so before the flight, I called to make sure that the flight was on time. Not a sound to be heard about the flight not being on time until 15 minutes before it was supposed to take off. And then they announced that the flight will be delayed for an hour. Now, that was my second ouch. But 1 hour means I'll arrive at 1 a.m. local time, 4 a.m. my time. And by the time I got to the hotel and all the other stuff, it would be 5 a.m. my time, for sure, one night without sleep. Oh, well, but it didn't end there. So after the first hour, they announced that the flight will be delayed another hour. And after the second hour, we were finally boarding the plane 2 hours late. And I already kissed my night sleep goodbye. And you may not think it's a big deal, but for me, it's a big deal. Because my second flight was at 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. So without sleep, I figured I could stay at the airport overnight and fly out at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll be dead tired when I get there. I'll get sleep, and then I'll be okay. So we all sat on the plane for another hour before takeoff, which means that we didn't take off until a bit after midnight, which was the third big ouch. But that was not where it ended. Because halfway through the flight, up in the air, came the fourth and the biggest ouch yet. Our plane was being derailed, rerouted to Colorado to refuel. It wasn't only scary, because all of a sudden I found out we don't have enough fuel on the plane, but it would also take an extra few hours. which meant for me that I was going to miss my 10 o'clock flight connecting me to Klamath Falls. That was not fun. But when we landed in Colorado, I called and I canceled my 10 a.m. flight and I rescheduled it to 1 o'clock from Portland to Klamath Falls, Oregon. But that wasn't the end of it either. You would think it was. We had to recalculate again because when we arrived to Colorado, one of the passengers on the plane got sick. And we now had to wait for paramedics to arrive and to take the passenger off the plane. So it promised to be a half an hour stop, ended up an hour stop before we were once again on our way to Portland. That's the fourth. Ouch. Finally, we were on our way to Portland, Oregon. And once again, recalculating the timetable, I realized that I was still good for the 1 p.m. flight out of Portland on Friday, which was the next day. And then finally, we arrived to Portland at 11:30 a.m. But guess what happened? Another passenger got sick. Once again, we had to wait for paramedics to take the passenger off the plane before we could get off. Fifth, ouch. And really, what are the odds of something like that happening twice on the same flight? I would think it's like 1 to 1 million. And so with all those delays, I still arrived to Portland 45 minutes before my 1 p.m. flight. And dealing with the luggage and the airport procedure, I barely make it to the flight. But somehow I made it, but my suitcase, there's no way it could make it. So that was another story also. At 1 p.m., I came, 1 p.m. came and went. And at 1:35, Pan Air, which was the airline that was going to take me from Portland to Klamath Falls, announced that flight 1717 was delayed for an hour. Sixth, ouch. But what's 1 hour in the scheme of things? Not much. If you never heard of Pan Air, it's because they're a very small airline running very short shuttles out west to those destinations that you probably never heard of. So it would have been nice if the story ended here because I was a walking zombie by now. Not only did I not sleep all night, I felt like I went through a torture chamber and every ounce of me was drained and dried. Feelings were not there anymore. So still after the first hour, Penner announced that he was going to be delayed another hour. It's my seventh ouch. Only he didn't stop there either because he kept on going 1 hour at a time until I reached my ninth ouch, and that was when they finally announced another huge ouch. Are you ready for that one? Flight was completely canceled. Huge 10th ouch. Now what? I felt like I was flattened and floored. Should I take a bus? Should I drive? Should I take a train? Oh my God, what should I do? But I knew for sure I couldn't drive because I would definitely fall asleep driving. I would definitely put my life in danger. So now I had to stay in a hotel locally, which they provided, and that was really, really nice because I needed a good night's sleep anyway. And that was a little tiny light in the dog journey of not such a smooth moment. And so the shuttle was supposed to come pick us up in about 15 minutes and take us to the hotel. Well, as you can realize by the way this trip is going, those 15 minutes waiting for the shuttle ended up being an hour waiting for the shuttle in an 18-degree weather. But we got over that ouch, too. And after a good night's sleep, I was up early to go, like at 6 o'clock in the morning, even though the flight was not scheduled until 10 o'clock. I felt really refreshed, and I actually felt alive again. The airline also was really nice. They got a complimentary breakfast, which I usually don't eat. I don't eat breakfast, but today I decided to eat it all. I was at the gate waiting for the plane by 8:30 in the morning, a little bit nervous and not trusting them and not sure where the next ouch was going to come from, but I was sure the next ouch will come. And by 9:30 and 9:45, when we were not even boarding the plane, I knew that a 10 a.m. flight was not going to happen. And that was my 11th ouch. But not a huge ouch, because I could see the tiny plane right in front of us through the window into the field. And I could see that people were working on it. So I knew the plane was there. They weren't taking away our plane. But they told us that the plane had to de-ice before we were able to board it. And it's not only that I didn't trust them anymore. I was afraid that the plane might not really be working and it would crash. But I still was going to take it. And then we saw a truck pull up in front of the plane, and someone said that it was a truck that was going to de-ice the plane. And believe it or not, that felt comforting. Though, because that made me realize that they were telling us the truth. So we waited for 45 minutes. And if you can hear my phone ringing in the background, it is ringing over there. And I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to finish telling you about this plane right now. So we waited 45 minutes, which was the 12th ouch. But it was a small ouch, because that was what we were told, to go ahead and get on the plane. But as we were getting on the plane, they took away my carry-on luggage because they said that the plane wasn't big enough to hold it. That was a 13th small little ouch. But when I got on the plane, I knew why. The plane was so tiny that my tiny suitcase wouldn't have fit on it. And so we sat on the plane for another 20 minutes, and I'm glad to say that I'm on the air right now. So as I was writing and thinking about what I was going to tell you, I was actually on the air flying this tiny little plane over the clouds. And I was so happy to kind of know that that was the end of the descheduling flight from New York City to Klamath Falls. And finally getting to a successful end of the journey. So we landed and it was 17 degrees in Klamath Falls. My coat was torn in half almost. And it was torn halfway through the walking back and forth in Portland. But that's another story for another day. So that was how I arrived to Klamath Falls. So I want to know if you have a flight or an airplane story, because I know a lot of people have a lot of stories. And if you want to share it, email me at cptalkshow@gmail.com. Also, I want to know what you think of my journey from hell. Well, not exactly. It was recalculating. But we do want to hear your story. And so when I finally got to Klamath Falls, and I got to where my destination was, and I started thinking about it, I realized something really strange. I realized that the night before I went out to fly, I wrote this chapter in my book that I'm trying to finish up before the New Year's, but the name of that chapter was called Murphy's Law. Everything that can possibly go wrong will go wrong. And that kind of made me wonder, did I kind of put that energy in there so that I would go through this hell? Because I certainly did not want to. I'm going to read you that chapter, even though it's kind of out of context. You may not really get the whole thing, but I am going to read it to you. But let me tell you something. When I opened my suitcase, I had a big package of jewelry that I was going to give my daughter that's missing. So that was another frustration. And then another one was that the Wi-Fi where I was staying was not working either. And that was, God. I don't even want to talk about what a big ouch that was. But I do want to read you the chapter that I wrote about Murphy's Law. And I want you to understand that I'm beginning to think that there definitely is a connection, because I don't know, the thought just came to me, and this is what I wrote.
So this is the book that I'm writing called The Accident. I have read you another chapter before, and it's about an accident that happened to me on my 40th birthday and all the things that the chain reaction after that. So before this chapter is the chapter about the actual accident, what happened a little bit beforehand, a little bit while it happened, then what happened in the emergency room, then I finally get admitted to the hospital. And then I wrote a chapter called Murphy's Law. So I'm going to read it to you because it's a very short chapter. I didn't finish it, but it's just really weird that I wrote this one day before this journey that I have never been through anything like that. So it's called Murphy's Law. Everything that can possibly go wrong went wrong. My boyfriend came. So here I am in the hospital in a dark room, paralyzed, cannot move. My boyfriend came to see me once. He brought me some club soda, which I actually liked. He stayed for less than 1 hour, which I didn't like, and then he gave me a quick kiss on the cheek and never returned, never called, and I never heard from him again. My heart was aching for a love I thought I had, but really, I never had it. The isolation I felt was like standing in the center of a hellhole that surrounded me, and with every cycle, it sucked me deeper into the black hole. One more thing to add to the list of broken down. The police decided that my blinking in the emergency room, and let me explain it to you, in the emergency room, a policeman came, and since I couldn't talk because I had a mask over my face because I couldn't breathe, the policeman told me to blink every time he asked me a question, once for yes, twice for no. So the police decided that my blinking meant that it was all my fault. So the police report ended up reporting that everything was my fault. My car was totally gone. I was now carless and bodyless. My rent couldn't be paid. Obviously, I couldn't get up. My insurance was canceled for the exact 24 hours that the accident took place. And it was reinstated exactly 24 hours later. My ex from hell informed me that he was getting prepared to take me to court for physical custody of my children. Obviously, I couldn't take care of the children. Who would argue with that? I couldn't show up in court and present my case, but even worse, I was in no position to hire anyone to represent me. It was a one-choice situation. Allow him to take control of the kids immediately or risk a chance of him getting physical custody by the court, which would mean that I would have to go prove to the court that I'm capable again of taking care of them. And I was informed that if he succeeded in maintaining physical custody, and it took me over 6 months to recuperate, he was a good chance of arguing that they're better off with him and that they did great with him for the 6 months. So I was on the verge of losing my kid. And that was one fight I wasn't ready to fight. So with all the fights that I have endured with him, this was one battle I would avoid at any cost. I was backed into a corner of a no-win decision. No matter which decision I made, I was doomed. So when I couldn't figure out what else can go wrong, then the hospital informed me that my insurance didn't cover my hospital stay, and I had to figure out a different way to pay. Okay, that was another thing that went wrong. I lost my job, no explanation, no compensation, only I could understand that. It didn't matter much because I couldn't work anyway, and I certainly couldn't fight for a job I couldn't perform, and all the juice had been drained out of every corner of my physical, mental, emotional body. There was no way I could do anything about it. But nothing really mattered anymore right now because I couldn't see even one thing that didn't go wrong, and all I could really do was do it. And use the only thing that I had left at that point, which was my brain. What was I going to know if, I decided to be still and know. And what was I going to know? That was what I was going to find out, because when you touch the bottom, there's only one option, and that's up. So kicking and screaming, I forced myself to see the light all the way at the end of the deep, dark tunnel of Murphy's Law. And those are all the things that I read about right before I went on that trip. And if that trip and that kind of thing was something that has ever happened to me before, maybe I wouldn't think that my writing
about it actually made any kind of difference in the trip, but it did. So I want to tell you that's the end of my story. And now I want to hear your story. Tell me about your journey. Tell me about your flight. Tell me about what you did that might have been a little bit different than your normal everyday trip. It has a little bit of a bump in it, but not that much. And so before I close up, I'm going to tell you a quick inspirational thing about being alone. Because one of the hard things that we have right now in our society is to be alone because we have so much entertainment all the time. And being alone, the first thing we tend to do is put on some kind of distraction so that we're really not alone. Like the TV would be on, the radio, the internet, something would be there to occupy our minds that we don't really have to be alone. So I want to just tell you the importance of being alone and developing a satisfying relationship with yourself. And I guess that's kind of the silver lining of this whole trip, because I ended up having to be alone with myself and dealing with it without reaching out for help. And so as I told you, being alone, the quote is, the most important relationship we will ever have in our life is with our own self. And even though we're the only ones who are present at every moment of our lives, which of course from birth until forever, this relationship can be the most difficult one to cultivate. Now, it could be because society places such a huge emphasis on the importance of being in a romantic partnership or in a social partnership that it even teaches us to set aside our own needs for the needs of another. And until we know ourselves, we cannot possibly choose the right relationship to support our mutual growth, because we want to go towards our highest potential. And by allowing ourselves to be comfortable with being alone, we can become the people with whom we want to have that relationship. Maybe it's possible that in history, there's never been a time like today where it's possible for people to survive and even thrive while living alone. Because in the past, it took a lot of people to support one household. But now we support ourselves financially. We could have a social relationship, can have emotionally happy without needing a spouse or a lot of people around us for survival of any of those. So with this kind of freedom, we can pursue our own interests and we can create fulfilling partnership with friends, with business partners, with creative co-workers and neighbors. And once we've satisfied our needs and created our support system, a mate then becomes someone with whom we can share the bounty of all we've created and the beauty that we have discovered within ourselves. And so in order to share the beauty within ourselves, we ourselves have to discover it alone. So as we move away from the tradition and fall into a more natural cycle of being in the world today, we may find that there are times where being alone nourishes us. And there are periods in which a partnership is best for our growth. So we go through different periods of our life. Maybe we need to learn to create spaces to be alone within a relationship. Because when we shift our expectation of our relationship with ourselves and with others, we shift it into opportunities for discovery. We open ourselves to forge new encounters and into uncharted territories. So being willing to know and love ourselves, to find out what truly makes us feel deeply and strongly, gives us the advantage of being able to attract and choose the right people with whom to share ourselves. Whether those relationships fall into romantic role or partnership or friendship, choosing to enjoy being alone allows us to fully explore what is the most important thing in our relationships with our true self. And that's basically just focusing on the importance of really taking the time to spend some time by ourselves, but not just to be alone, but to grow. Because one of the things that a lot of people do these days is they end up in a relationship with someone who is either a psychopath or a sociopath, or a man or a woman, irrelevant. And then they kind of break their head trying to figure out why the relationship is not working, why they're in pain. And that has happened to me. It has happened to a lot of people I know. They were in a relationship with a psychopath, but they always were being blamed for everything that went wrong, so they didn't even realize it. And so I'm going to give you a few characteristics on how to identify a psychopath, so that way if you are with a psychopath, you'll realize it, and really you don't want to be in a relationship with a psychopath. So here's a few. I have 7 things here to identify psychopaths. The number one thing, and that's the reason that really throws us off, is because they're very charismatic. And they do exaggerate a lot of stories about themselves, and they do lay out a lot of lies, but we're not aware of it because it's so charismatic. That's the one huge characteristic. And then the second one is usually they're very intellectual, they're very sharp, and kind of like con artists. No, actually not kind of like con artists, con artists. Number 3, they have no feelings. They have no guilt, no remorse or love. Number 4, they're impulsive. So they're very free of repercussions. They'll do things without thinking twice about it, whether it's right or wrong. And 5, they never lose. And they always defend their position. And that's the sign of a lot of different things. Number 6 is they believe their lies, and that's why they can even pass a lie detector test. So that's basically how you can identify if you're in a relationship with a psychopath. And that's all we have to say for today. It's been a trip that I'm still recuperating from, but a trip nonetheless. And now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. It has been wonderful being able to relax and just speak with you. I am looking forward to hearing from you and chatting with you. You have been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Enjoy the journey.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Your AB.